Hi, I'm Rick Nelson, and for the past few episodes, we've been talking about workforce and recruiting challenges and some success stories. On this episode, we're continuing the conversation on recruiting and retention with a program that's paying some dividends for the Washington State DOT. In episode 93, one we're calling It's Not Just a Job, we're talking with State Maintenance Engineer Pasco Bakatich. Pasco shared some interesting statistics regarding the rising number of retirees leaving the workforce, the silver tsunami, he called it. And with the shrinking pool of 18-year-olds available to enter the workforce, Washington State DOT created the High School to Highways program to actively market and recruit students graduating from high school for careers in DOT maintenance. And there have been some interesting and positive side effects to bringing these young individuals with the thirst for learning on board. So stick around where we're talking winter ops with Pasco Bakatich in episode 93, It's Not Just a Job, right after this. Talking Winter Ops is the voice of AASHTO's Winter Weather Management Technical Service Program, or PSYCHOP for you old-timers out there. Financial support for the program doesn't come from vendors or suppliers or consultants, but from state DOTs who see value in the Winter Weather Management TSP. The activities we undertake, like the research we encourage and the Talkin' Winter Ops podcast, is available because they make a voluntary contribution to AASHTO each year to support our program. It's those states who keep the lights on and the recorders rolling to bring you products to help you achieve your winter maintenance mission. So, Pasco, you're the state maintenance engineer?
Yes.
Washington State DOT. How long have you been doing that?
So, I've been the state maintenance engineer just over 8 years. I've been with the agency 37. I was the state design engineer for 10 years before coming into this role.
Oh, so you've circulated around. You know what? And I think there's so much value in doing that because you get to see, you know, sort of how things happen in other areas helps you do your job better.
Absolutely.
So many times we get siloed. It's like, you know, the state bridge engineer will never be a design engineer. They will always be a bridge engineer. Same for maintenance, same for right of way. And I think there's just a lot of value in circulating around. You see how other things work.
Yes. Agreed.
Pasco, so we're doing this series on workforce, and it's sort of an extension of when we were together last in July. We were in Portland, Maine, and there was a lot of interest in workforce and the kinds of challenges that agencies are facing at the Committee on Maintenance meeting. And you made a presentation there along with John Lomay, and I think Todd from Vermont was supposed to be there, but he had a little thing called the flood that he was dealing with. But there was some really, really interesting discussion and insight into what's happening with workforce. And you were part of that. And you have this program in Washington State called High School to Highways. How long has that program been going on?
I would say it's still in its infancy. We've started about 3 years ago doing a couple, seeing how it was going to work. And it's kind of grown and taken off from there. But we are, I would say, in its infancy.
And what got you motivated to look at this particular, you know, demographic, if you will, when it comes to helping you with your workforce needs?
Well, we sat back and we're looking at all the trends that were going on. And we know that there is a lot of folks retiring. We have this silver tsunami that is hitting a multitude of sectors, but especially hard the construction trades, of which our maintenance employees fall into that same sector. And that coupled with looking at birth rates. And if we go back and look at birth rates, our 18-year-old population peaks in the year 2025, and then starts on a slight decline for like another 12, 14 years. And there's nothing we can do to go back and change those birth rates, right? They are what they are.
Right.
And so we just strategized internally talking about what can we do differently. One of those is we can figure out a way to create a good work culture to try to keep as many of our employees as possible. Obviously, salary goes right along with that. Another way to begin to address the overall workforce issue is innovation. And innovation is going to come up in a variety of ways. But we also knew that both of those by themselves weren't going to solve our challenge.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about innovation, are you like using technology as a force multiplier, or are you thinking about innovation with respect to workforce hiring and development? And
well, we're looking at more of that workforce multiplier. An example, this last year, we were able to purchase a small hydro mill for one of our bridge crews. And I was sold on the hydro mill concept just from a safety perspective. The number of repetitive injuries were going to go way down based on the fact that we don't have people on their hands and knees jackhammering on bridge decks to fix holes in the bridge.
Okay.
But the other side of the equation with that hydro mill is it will do the work of six people about seven times faster. And it's not to work anybody out of a job. It's to be able to have those people do their jobs for a longer period of time because they're not on their hands and knees as frequently jackhammering on the on bridge decks. So we're constantly looking for ways to make the job go a little bit smoother, maybe a little bit faster, whether it's techniques, tools, or materials. But they've got to be, you know, when we look at materials, they got to be durable materials. It's not a quick in and out in your back quickly again because the materials don't last.
Right.
But the other thing we were really looking at is, you know, where can we start changing the demographic of which we are hiring? And it was one of our regions that said, hey, we'd like to try looking at some folks from high school. We have an idea that it was a region that already had a CDL trainer on staff. Mm-hmm. And so that particular maintenance engineer in that region put together a proposal and moved it forward and worked with his own staff to get a acceptance that this was going to be something new. And they started. And I think the first year, I think they hired three.
Okay. So now when you go into looking for high school, is it a student or is it a recent graduate?
It can be either. We don't limit it to just graduating on that particular May or June. We try to open up like a 2-year window. If people have a variety of experiences, typically we will have other job openings that we will get those folks into, but really it's for the graduate within a year or two of graduation. And really what we're looking for is attitude and aptitude, right? Mm-hmm. Attitude and aptitude.
Now, did you have to tweak any kind of personnel hiring rules or, you know, one of the things when you talk to folks about innovation in, you know, human resources or personnel rules. I mean, you've got a defined set of operating guidelines that the legislature has given to you. Did you have to make any adjustments to that to implement this high school to highway program?
Actually, we didn't. We have a high school or a highway maintenance worker one classification, and it basically says that they really just need a the ability to drive. So they have to have a driver's license, mm-hmm. And the ability to learn. And we've used that classification sometimes to bring people in at that entry level and let them gain a little bit of experience and then move on to the highway maintenance worker two level.
Right.
And so we didn't have to do a whole lot on the HR side of things. We had the classification that already fit. It was a matter of changing where we were going to focus recruiting from, especially in that first attempt of going out to some of the high schools and starting to talk about it.
Okay. So how did that come together? How did that region pull it off?
So, like I say, they started by making sure that they had some of their supervisors bought in. And part of the buy-in was these were not going to be like other hires. The typical maintenance employee that we hire, if you look at it from a demographics and an age standpoint, would typically range maybe from the age of 22, 25 to maybe as experienced as somebody in their late 50s or early 60s. They might be looking okay. for a different career path and transitioning to be home more or not at the demands of a construction contractor and some of the hours that they put in. And and the supervisor needed to have that understanding that the folks that we would be looking at may not have much work experience. And the region maintenance engineer convinced them that, and this would be the opportunity to form those individuals, expose them to our culture, and to create the employee that we would like, pointing out the opportunities for advancement. But the big thing was to get those supervisors on board, knowing that they were going to be mentors to somebody that may not have a lot of work experience. And so it was going to be a different type of a mentoring opportunity for those supervisors.
Uh-huh. You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I was reading through some of the news news releases, the press releases that you all have had. You've got a pretty rich social media presence out there with respect to high schools, to highways. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But one thing that was brought up was it's not an internship. No. It's a mentorship.
Yep. Yeah, very true. It's not somebody just to expose them to what we do, hoping that they might choose us later in life to come to work for us. It's a job from day one, but it's also recognizing a lot of on-the-job training, a lot of sharing of not just what we do, but why we do it, and getting those employees then to buy into, if they know the why, they'll help figure out how to get things done.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was really interesting. There, you've got some YouTube videos, you've got some testimonials, you know, folks talking about, you know, why this program was important to them, why they gave it a shot, why they're hanging with it. And it seemed like the things that were resonating with them, the things that were important to them, weren't necessarily things that would have come to my mind. For example, some professional development opportunities. You know, it's like, I wouldn't have thought that a maintenance worker would have that in the back of their mind as a reason to come to the Washington State DOT.
And that was one of the things that we talked a lot about, not just with the high school to highway program, but for any hiring that we're doing, is we do have a career path and a robust career that an individual can pursue. We now have two regions that don't require an engineering license in order to become the lead maintenance employee for that region. As a matter of fact, my assistant state maintenance engineer position is not a license requirement. And so we've really set the bar fairly low on one hand, that you don't have to have certain pedigrees in order to achieve greatness within the maintenance program, and yet set expectations very high that anybody walking in the door that is willing to be developed, willing to take on leadership, willing to take on managerial responsibilities, the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. You know, as part of this series, as part of this workforce series, we're going to have a visit with Sandy Sauter from the Maryland Department of Transportation. And, you know, I thought that the days of coming in at, for example, she started as a clerical person at a maintenance garage right out of high school. and ended up being the deputy director of operations for the Maryland DOT. I know several individuals that have made that journey from, you know, coming in at an entry-level job and then ending up as the director of the DOT or the head of maintenance. And I it's really encouraging that those opportunities are there, because there was a period of time where you just didn't see that happen. You know, it's like if you didn't have a license to practice engineering, you weren't going to occupy one of these positions. And I think for me, it's really encouraging to see that kind of a career track is coming back, that you can actually do that, depending on your own motivations, desires, drive, you know.
Rick, spot on. I think the idea of human curiosity and continuously learning and continuously trying to better oneself, that is what is propelling some of these folks, that many of them are natural leaders. You know, I think we've all worked with folks that they may not be in a leadership position, but you're listening to them, you're watching them, you're taking your cues right from them. And many of these folks are now going ahead and stepping up, saying, I want to take that next step. I think I can do that job. And we're encouraging folks to do just that. And like I say, going back to the Highway to High School program, I have no doubt in my mind. Well, we already had one individual who hired on as a highway maintenance worker one, is now a highway maintenance worker three, which is our lead tech. So they are now leading a team. Mm-hmm. And they were one of the first in that group of three or four. And, you know, it's outstanding. There's no preference given to these individuals. They are all competing right along with somebody who maybe had more experience, but they're not showing the same leadership or managerial acumen that others are. And some of these folks are hungry. They like what they see with the agency. They like the 4-day work week. Mm-hmm. They see the progression and that there is a career ladder, and they begin to understand some of the other benefits of working in the public sector. Some of them are starting to talk about a future retirement, even though it might be 35 years out. They're talking about healthcare as they are beginning to start families and understand the benefit of having a healthcare benefit. Where before that, they were just kind of hanging out, maybe doing things on weekends. And so they're becoming more focused.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you go into the high school environment and you're, I guess it's fair to say you're recruiting these individuals. Used to be you put an ad in the newspaper and, wait for people to come sign up. It's like with that demographic shrinking, you know, the pool of 18-year-olds, if you will, shrinking, it's like you can't just wait for them to show up on your door.
Yeah. I think the days of, we used to call it post and pray. You'd post the announcement and pray somebody would apply. And, we've gradually been able to get the word out about DOT through the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. So we work directly with that state agency to be able to get information out to the schools. We've had a lot of interest from the regions that are buying into the program, which this year, this last May, June, July hiring, all six of our regions statewide were engaged for the first time in bringing a high school to highway employee on. Mm-hmm. They're interested in making visits to schools, getting the word out, having a touch the equipment day, all the different things that they've been doing. They're seeing now the opportunity to get some of these individuals that maybe have seen something at a county fair or something like that. They're not having to wait until maybe they thought about changing a career. They're able to have those conversations and plant the seed that you could come to work for us right after you get your diploma in one hand and the job to come to work for DOT within a few days of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you say all six regions have adopted this? Do you think it's, I guess there's a couple of ways to look at it. One is they're looking at their peers and saying, wow, they're having some success with this. The other is saying, I'm not getting any applicants for my vacancies. I need to go find people. Maybe a little of both. What do you think? What's your sense of how this is being accepted?
You know, interestingly, I think it's more that they're seeing the success of some of the other regions and talking not just to the managers in those regions, but talking to the folks that are closer to the boots on the ground, closer to these positions. And what they're seeing are folks coming in that are hungry to learn. They ask good questions. Many, they're not having to break maybe a bad habit from somebody else who maybe has already been in the workforce for a while. And yet we still get outstanding applicants beyond our high school to highway program. So the applicant pools are actually seem to be getting bigger in the state of Washington right now.
Okay.
But at the same time, our folks are saying, I like what I'm seeing out of the high school, the highway folks, and we want to continue that as well.
Right. You know, you hit on something really important, I think. And it's something that you know, I had to face in my career. It's like you bring somebody on that's got experience. It's like, they might not have the best experience, right? And you might have to put some energy into untraining them from bad habits and retraining them to the culture of the agency.
Yeah, no doubt. But that also puts a lot of pressure on our folks, our peers, the mentors, if you will. They're walking the talk every day. And so it's really difficult to be working with a new hire, like out of the high school, the highway program. You've got to walk the talk. If you're telling them this is what needs to happen, you've got to be making sure that you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, if the shift starts at 6 a.m., you don't roll in at 6:05. You're there at 10 right. to 6, and you're ready to go at 6 o'clock. You're not, you know, pulling into the maintenance shed at 6 o'clock, and then by the time you get to the crew room, get your gear and get ready to go at 6:15. That hasn't been a problem, but everybody knows that if you're going to, you need to walk the talk to be that mentor, to be that person that is showing them the ropes and being able to answer the question. I think that's the other part of this, is taking the time to explain the why, taking the time to explain what we're doing, why we're doing it, the tools that we have available. And the tools sometimes aren't just the shovel or the backhoe or the dump truck. Sometimes those tools, we've had folks go through and get their herbicide spray license. We've had folks volunteer to start working on asphalt repair, guardrail repair. And so there's training that goes along with all those duties and responsibilities. And we encourage the folks to ask, why am I doing this, but why does it have to be put together that way? You know, you put guardrail together, it's got to be lapped appropriately so the laps are not in the direction of travel. They're away from the direction of travel. And it's just explaining to them what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And they're picking it up very quickly, very quickly.
You know, you talk about that thirst for knowledge. It's like that education, you know, you don't have to go to college to get an education, right? You know, just understanding, you know, why you're lapping guardrail one way or another. It's like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, there's some process here. It's not just that's the way we've always done it. And you know, I would think that the crews that are working with these young folks that are taking this mentorship seriously, I bet it makes them better employees too, because they have to sort of understand that themselves, right?
Well, not only that, what you see is kind of that proud relative philosophy. I don't want to call them, they're all proud moms and dads, but they take a sense of pride in seeing, I've spent and invested some time in this individual. and they're knocking it out of the park. They're rock star in it. And I would say this though, too, that, you know, a maintenance worker's job is a tough job. It's labor intensive. And it's not for everybody. I know that with the first, group that we hired in since 2020, we had hired 23 and 16 were still in the program as we entered this last round of hiring. And we picked up 20 more folks, in this last round of hiring for folks getting out of school in that May, June, July timeframe. So it's just like any other job. You're going to get into it. You're going to find that maybe you didn't expect that heavy a labor, that maybe it was going to be a little bit different, or maybe that you were just going to be driving dump truck all day. That's not the case. But it's like any job. You're going to get into it and find out that, well, sure, this one isn't quite for me. Thank you for your time. There hasn't been any ugly, quote unquote, separations from DOT. It's just that, hey, this isn't for me.
Not my cup of tea.
Yep.
So as far as the program goes, you know, they're coming in as maintenance worker ones, entry level positions. Do you as an agency make a commitment to hold a certain number of these positions for the high school to highway program, or is it all maintenance worker ones are fair game for high school to highways or the post and pray method?
Well, we're not holding all of our maintenance worker ones open for the high school to highway because we believe that there needs to be a commitment to those, specifically to those employees for the mentorship. And so we are very cautious about over-promising that we can take on more than we can chew, if you will. So each year it's been a selection of, okay, where are we at? You know, what's our experience level within the crews, within the regions? And we let the regions kind of self-select. How many do they feel comfortable bringing on? The hope is that we'll be able to get on a regular basis, say 25 to 30 a year. But we haven't reached that level yet. And we also, right now we're talking about maybe starting more outreach in the fall as students are coming back for their senior year. Putting the thought in their minds that, hey, DOT might be a career that maybe I hadn't thought of before, instead of waiting until the springtime. We have been going out in the February, March timeframe. And we just think that we can probably get a bigger group of people interested in coming to work for the agency if we start earlier in their calendar year.
Got it. Now, when they come on, is it permanent full time? Are there part time kinds of opportunities if they're still in school?
Or we bring them on with the commitment. It's permanent, full time from day one. We have an expectation that they'll complete a training program that has been laid out within a 2-year period. Part of that is within the first year, not only getting them their learner's permit for their CDL, but getting them to their CDL Class A within that first year. And we will either do that internally. Like I said, we've got one region that has a dedicated CDL trainer. Some of the other regions can pick up a person or two because they've got some experience. But we will also send them to a commercial driving school to get that CDL license. And then there's a variety of other trainings so that within that 2-year period, and we've had a couple have been able to accelerate that. I think within 9 months of hire, they've been able to just gobble up the training. Like I say, and knocking that out of the park, getting their CDL Class A, and have been able to reach that highway maintenance worker 2 level before a year. But we want to give them time, recognizing life happens too, right? And that, Great. Yes, we have a job. We have a career path. We have training. But at the same time, if somebody needs some time off for something, you know, we have annual leave and sick leave like anybody else. And so we just work it so that they get all the opportunities they need to have that accomplished within that first 24-month period.
You know, you talked about the fact that they're not just driving a dump truck. For those of us that are in the business, you know, maintenance is not just equipment operation. It's a full feature set, from asphalt repairs to guardrail repairs to, you know, you name it. And so if folks coming on thinking they're going to be driving a dump truck all the time, well, you know, it's just not going to happen, right? But I think there's other things on how you sell that position. And I think one of the things that struck me when I was going through the press releases and so on is a comment that says, it's not just operating equipment, it's community service. And I think that's sort of a different way of looking at what highway maintenance really is.
No, Rick, you're spot on. You know, public service is not for everybody. It's not cut out for everybody. And I think the combination of seeing what you're doing for the system, the transportation system, on a daily basis, you can see that you've made a difference. And there's very few people on a daily basis that don't take advantage of that transportation system in some way. Whether it's going to work, going to the grocery store, recreating, going to a medical visit, whatever it is, typically you're going from point A to point B. Not everybody is living in their houses anymore in like the heyday of COVID. And for a lot of people, there is an element of reward, recognizing that I made a difference every day that I go to work, whether it's repairing that guardrail, cable rail, sweeping the shoulders of the roadway, clearing out debris from a culvert with winter coming, and knowing that the culvert's going to flow fine. We're not going to have to worry about it overflowing the road. They begin to see the cause and effect of what they do, and the approach and how it affects the operation of our transportation system.
Well, and you know, even when you're in your house during COVID, if it weren't for that transportation network, right? It's like, how is Amazon going to get to you? How is that Diner Dash or DoorDash going to get to you? It's like, you know, they sent everybody home, but they didn't send highway maintenance workers home, because that transportation system is still important.
Yeah, no doubt. As a matter of fact, I know we had several calls during that time of making sure that we were keeping our safety rest areas open. Primarily for the trucking industry, because there was so much demand being placed on truckers and getting products delivered, supplies delivered, emergency equipment delivered. And it was like, yep, we got it. We're going to make sure they're open.
You know, I was going back and looking at past podcast episodes. And when I saw this message come up in your material, right, about it's a community service. We were, and I can't remember who exactly it was we were visiting with, but it was we were lamenting about not being able to find, you know, snowplow drivers. And it was like, well, maybe instead of marketing that as we need Class A commercial drivers to drive a snowplow, it's we need some environmentalists to be good stewards of the environment while we're keeping the highway open. Right. And, you know, and I think that's exactly sort of what you're hitting on. And could that be because of what motivates the generations these days? You know, I'm not sure what letter of the alphabet 18-year-olds are these days, but I know as a baby boomer, I think we're motivated by different kinds of things. Have any thoughts on that and about how this recruiting, you know, reaching out and message that resonates with these young folks these days.
I do. I do believe that we have not just the current generation of 18-year-olds, but even the previous generation. There's a lot of care about where they live. A lot of them like to recreate outdoors, so they have that touch, that feel with nature. And they want to make sure that whatever they're doing as a career path, at a minimum, keeps that neutral. Most of them want to better it. Most of them like to see the betterment of paths and trails, of access to the outdoors. And we have a number of folks that not only have come to work, they enjoy, especially winter operations, as weird as that sounds sometimes with the long hours during big events, sometimes missing key events at home. But at the same time, they know that not only are they making a difference, they know that when they're off, they're hitting the ski slopes. They're out snowmobiling. They are hiking different trails. And so I do think that there is a connection between what we do and how we are doing it in an environmentally friendly way, and what they appreciate about being able to live in the Pacific Northwest, as an example. But you could take that anywhere, wherever. Wherever the maintenance worker is, typically they're not sitting at home during off hours. Typically they are out doing something outside. So they're not shy about the weather.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to have a special mindset to want to get out and mix it up during snow removal operations. It's not a job for everybody.
Not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, that's right.
That's for sure.
Pasco, have we touched all the things you wanted to talk about with respect to high school to highways? You made a great presentation there at the maintenance committee. Did we cover all your points?
Well, I think so. I think the reality is that we like what we're seeing with this group of folks. Young adults that we're bringing in, we'll continue to recruit through normal ways as well, and find those folks that occasionally will transition from maybe working in construction, coming to work in the maintenance, and having some of those types of career changes. But I think it also is changing. I think the learning dynamic, because of the thirst for learning of the younger folks we're bringing in, I think is rubbing off on some of the other folks who think, okay, I've got this. I've been doing this a while. But I'm seeing how much energy this younger person is bringing to the job. And it's not just because of their age. It's because of their thirst for learning. And I think it's incentivizing others to a certain degree, to keep on that learning curve, to keep learning something new every day. So I think it's a great mix of both that youth, if you will, but also the reminder that even though I might be an old dog, I can still learn a couple new tricks. And right. I say that very personally, as far as I'm a little bit of an older dog. And I am absolutely learning something literally every day in this job.
Yeah. Well, and you know, probably the worst thing that can happen is you're doing something because that's the way we've always done it. You know, and there's probably good reason. I mean, stuff didn't evolve just 'cause.
Right.
Right. But things change. You know, just because you tried something 10 or 15 years ago doesn't mean it's no good today, because the environment changes, technology changes, the way you look at things change. And getting that fresh set of eyes, I think, pays dividends both ways, you know, like you said.
You know, it's interesting. We've got a variety of trainings coming up in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We've got two different maintenance academies. And one of the opportunities I get when I talk to our maintenance academies, which are typically new employees within their first year of employment as a maintenance employee, we talk about a variety of things. But one of the things that I hit on a lot is safety. And it's not just the typical safety discussion. It's, and what I flat out tell them, at any point in time, anybody in the operation can wave off and stop the operation. Even if you just have a weird feeling in your stomach that you're just not quite sure, wave it off. Get back together. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. I also talk about asking questions. And typically, the same week we are doing a maintenance academy for our entry-level employees, we're doing a leadership forum for the lead techs, which are typically the highway maintenance worker threes. And they'll be in two different rooms at the same location. So I'm in mm-hmm. one room telling them anybody can stop anything at any time. I then will transition to the forum and tell them the same thing. I've just told everybody in the other room what I'm telling you here. Anybody can stop anything at any given time. I tell both groups of people, ask questions, learn the why behind what you're doing. So we're trying to set the expectation, not just from the lowest levels, the entry levels, I should say, of the organization, but even that first level lead tech, that first level manager, it's the expectation. We need to be in a learning environment.
Right.
This is everybody goes home at the end of shift type thing. And safety is paramount. There is no substitute for safety. And if somebody is just a little bit uneasy about the circumstances that you've set them in, it's fine for them to wave off the operation. And we need to have a safe environment to talk about why they feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And so we talk about it a lot. We train to it. And we think it's making a difference.
Well, you know, in the previous podcast, talked about the NCHRP domestic scan and the two folks that were on, Lee and Bill, they all held up Washington State as somebody to focus on that's got an outstanding program. And, you know, listening to the way you describe it and this whole high school to highways program, they're not just blowing smoke. They're talking the real stuff. So kudos to you guys for doing such a great job up there.
Well, thank you, Rick. And it really goes to the crews and to the folks in the field. They're the ones that came up with the idea. They're the ones that sold it. They're the ones that demonstrated the success of it. I just want to make sure that we give them the support they need.
Yeah. Pasco, it's been great visiting with you. What I'd like to do is give everybody your email. And if they've got questions about high schools to highways or any other workforce or any other maintenance issue, if it's okay with you, I would encourage them to ring you up and have a discussion, if that's all right.
Fantastic. I appreciate it, Rick. Thank you very much for the opportunity today.
Well, Pasco, it's been great visiting with you. Just so everybody knows, Talkin' Winter Ops is on all the major podcast apps. Give us a like and subscribe. And while you're at it, give us some stars too, hopefully 5. If you've liked this episode, share it around and invite others to listen in on the conversation. Now, you can subscribe to our email list so you can get all the news from the Winter Weather Management TSP firsthand by going to subscribe.talkinwinterops.org. Now, if social media is your thing, we're on Facebook and Instagram. Check us out at TalkinWO. This podcast is possible because of state departments of transportation across the nation that make a $4,000 contribution to support the AASHTO Winter Weather Management Technical Service Program. It's because of your support that Talkin' Winter Ops and all the other resources from the Winter Weather Management TSP are there to help you achieve your winter maintenance mission. Until next time, thanks for tuning in and stay safe out there.
Well, I tell you what, we got to stay safe. We got to go home at end of shift. So have a great day.
Right on.